Good morning, Christ Center. It is Friday, October 24th, and we are in week 7 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading Mark 13, 1 through 23. But before we do, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 13, 1 to 23. As he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what massive stones, what impressive buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see those great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down." While he was sitting at the Mount of Olives across from the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign when these things are about to be accomplished?" Jesus told them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will deceive you. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must take place, but it is not yet the end. For nations will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. But you, be on your guard. They will hand you over to local courts, and you will be flogged in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me as witnesses to them. And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say, but say whatever is given to you at that time, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down or go in to get anything out of his house, and a man in the field must not go back to get his coat. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Pray it won't happen in winter, for those will be the days of tribulation, the kind that hasn't been seen from the beginning of creation until now and will never be again. If the Lord has not cut these days short, no one could be saved. But he cut those days short for the sake of the elect whom he chose. Then if anyone tells you, 'See, here is the Messiah, see, there,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. And you must watch. I have told you everything in advance."
Thank you, Mark. We're not going to try to walk all the way through this passage, mostly because I just did it on Sunday. And so if you are listening to this and you didn't hear the sermon on Sunday, I'm just going to advise you, go back and take a look or a listen to that online or on the podcast. Just in a nutshell, my thesis was simply this. This entire passage is not talking about the end of days. It's talking about the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD. You'll notice the passage starts when they're saying, "Look at this beautiful temple." Jesus says, "Yes, I know, and it's all going to be destroyed." And they say, "When is this going to happen?" And most of the rest of the chapter is talking about that and giving all of these signs. This is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen in about 40 years. And history tells us leading up, there were earthquakes, there were natural disasters, there was wars. And finally, Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and the desolation of the city finally came. I'm not going to go point by point through this at all right now, because this is just a devotional podcast. So go back and listen to that. But the thing I want to focus on here is Jesus's heart was broken for Jerusalem several times. He walked through and wept over the city. And the reason he was weeping over the city is because he knew this destruction was coming. This is where their insistence on rebelling against Rome, their insistence on having a violent Messiah, would bring destruction on them. Violence only breeds more violence. And it makes me, it brought me to this passage in Luke 19, verse 41 through 44. When he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For the day will come when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side." This, he's specifically talking about siege warfare from the Romans. It's going to happen in 40 years. "They'll set up a barricade, surround you on every side, and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." It's a tragic scripture that's clearly talking about this same thing, the destruction of the temple, the complete destruction of this incredible city that's going to happen. That desire for war is what ultimately will bring them down. They missed the Prince of Peace.
I think if we look at how Jesus presents following him, it looks so different. And there's this invitation, and he's going to send us the Counselor and the Comforter, that we get to be in this place where we're seeking the shalom for ourselves and our cities is very, very different than I think our human nature or our flesh wants to. Because I know, and when I look at things that have happened to me or my family, even sometimes we'll joke and say, I want to throat punch somebody. But the reality is, I know that if I'm following Christ, that's not the way. But my instinct is to react to oppression or to react to persecution with violence.
Yeah, it's not an option. And this is what you see in Jesus' ministry. You remember the time when James and John want to call down fire on the Samaritan city. And Jesus is like, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. And when Jesus had to call out Peter, like, no, you're not going to pull the sword and kill the servants of the people that are coming to get me. No, you don't understand. This is not what my kingdom is like. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's so easy to overlook that, especially when things are tense and you're in a tense culture and society, that no, but my enemies really, really need to be crushed this time. And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Uli's also with us. What do you got for me, Uli?
Yeah, you know, I can just echo what you guys said. We're so quick to respond out of the fear that is happening within our society. And, you know, Jesus is already just explaining the situation. This is what's going to happen. And but yet he comes with a gentle comfort of part of his character to just comfort us, telling us, don't worry. You know, this may happen, but it's as if he's telling us, see what's happening. You don't even need to talk, because I send my Holy Spirit and I send him to come comfort you. I send him to speak for you, to have your place, for you just be there. You know, you just be. It's not your battle. And he's even asking them, do not fear, you know, don't fear, because I'm there. I will be there for you. Even though this is happening, I'm there for you.
He's even giving them clues of like, here's when you leave.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, thinking back, there's a distinction between anger and rage.
Yeah.
And as I was walking out the rage that I'd been a victim to and perpetuated on others, at one point I felt like what was really clear to me is when I went into rage, I was using the tools of the enemy. I got to the point where I felt that rage, that as soon as it passed, I would almost throw up, because it was so abhorrent to me.
Yeah.
Because it was so clear that wasn't from God. That isn't God's way of doing things. That's the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
And when I'm entering into a spirit where I'm wanting those things, I am not at the kingdom of light. I'm actually operating for the kingdom of darkness.
That's right. That's right.
And that, if we recognize that, that should create a conviction in our soul about how we go about doing things.
Yeah. Peace is a priority in the kingdom of God. It was a priority for Jesus, and it's not optional. He's crying out for peace, and people wouldn't have it. And I think we need to embrace the Prince of Peace. Uli, can you pray a blessing over us today?
Dear Lord Jesus, we say thank you for the love and for peace that you've given us. And I pray, God, that we will embrace that and that we will make it our very own, O God. and I just want to echo what Mark said. Jason said that we make peace a priority in our lives. And I pray, God, that it will be a lifestyle, oh God. Father, that we will first seek for peace, God, before we want to step into anything else. And I just pray peace over everyone that's listening, oh God, that the love of Jesus just come over them. And may your Holy Spirit just comfort us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.